Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued. This is where we take your stack of fascinating sources and, well, distill them into insights you can use. Mm-hmm. And today, you've brought us something really quite whimsical, but also profound. Tinkerbell's Theology of Light.
That's right. It's from an article on a blog called The Church of Tinkerbell.
Yeah, and just to be clear for everyone, this isn't about, you know, traditional dogma or anything.
Not at all.
It's this wonderfully imaginative sort of metaphorical framework. It uses Peter Pan's fairy, Tinkerbell, to look at universal virtues through a fresh lens.
Exactly.
So our mission today, explore how everyday light sources, candles, stars, even fireflies and rainbows, offer these surprisingly deep insights into compassion and truth.
And what's fascinating, really, is how the source material weaves these different kinds of light together.
Right.
Into this, well, coherent philosophy about connection. Shared humanity. It uses simple, relatable metaphors for some pretty complex ideas. Man. Makes them accessible.
I love that. And it starts with a really bold premise, doesn't it? Okay, let's unpack this. The article basically says, light isn't meant to be hoarded.
Mm-hmm. Think about a candle flame.
Exactly. You share it, it multiplies. It doesn't get smaller.
Right.
And that, in this Tinkerbell theology, is how kindness and truth are meant to grow. When we share them, it's fundamental.
A core principle.
Okay, so let's start with maybe the most intimate light source. The candle, that small, steady flame.
Right.
The article points out how humble it is. It doesn't roar, doesn't demand attention, just a quiet flicker.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the insight there? How does something so small have power? And what's that tell us about compassion, you know, without needing big flashy gestures?
Well, it's precisely that quiet power that's so instructive. The candle metaphor shows how compassion often starts just like that. Quiet. Maybe it even looks fragile.
Yeah.
But it's got this inherent strength, strong enough to keep despair at bay. We often think we need these grand heroic acts to make a difference. But this theology reminds us, sometimes it's just a single word of encouragement. Or, you know, offering a listening ear.
Or just being there.
Or just being present. Exactly. Showing someone they aren't alone. And it's not just a ripple effect. That's the interesting part the source brings up. It calls it an ignition.
Ignition. Okay.
Your quiet spark doesn't just spread, it becomes the source of new light in someone else. It turns scarcity into abundance.
Wow.
Which makes you think, how often do we underestimate that ignition potential? The power of our, well, most modest gestures.
That's a really different way to frame it, ignition, not just ripple. Changes how you think about small acts. And the article gives the candle a voice, quoting it.
Mm-hmm.
Do not underestimate the power of your small flame. It can ignite others and in time set the whole room aglow.
Powerful.
It really makes you pause, doesn't it? And think, what small flames are you carrying right now? How could you share them gently but powerfully?
Yeah.
Okay, so from the candle's immediate warmth, we jump to the stars. Ancient, far-reaching light. That's a huge leap.
It is. A cosmic one.
And I'm fascinated by how Tinkerbell connects something so, well, immediate, like a candle, to something so enduring. Stars burn for eons. Their light travels. I mean, it's mind-boggling distances.
Right. Reaching us long after the star might have changed or even died.
So how can light that's maybe traveled for millennia still guide us today? What does that imply about our own actions?
The stars here are a metaphor for enduring truth. And actions that last through time.
Okay.
If you connect that to the bigger picture, it really highlights the legacy of our values, the truths we uphold. Just like ancient starlight still guides travelers, words spoken centuries ago can still hit us hard, offer understanding. Acts of courage, compassion, maybe from history, maybe in our own families, they ripple out through generations.
Like constellations.
Exactly, like constellations guiding us. These are the truths that last, shining consistently for anyone who looks up.
Okay.
It reminds us that what we do today, it casts light into the future.
Becomes a guide for others.
A navigational aid for people who come after us.
That's a heavy thought, though, the legacy part. What about when truths seem to clash? Or when light from the past feels, well, maybe more like a burden than a guide? Does Tinkerbell's view help with that? Discerning which lights to follow?
That's a really good question. And I think the theology guides us there by focusing on the nature of the light itself.
How so?
Truth that guides rather than, say, constrains is usually born from compassion. It seeks a connection. Like starlight, it shows a direction, but doesn't dictate the exact path you have to walk.
Okay, subtle difference.
Yeah. The article suggests these enduring truths are the ones that foster wisdom, kindness, understanding across generations, like a North Star, you know, a steady guide. It's less about one single rigid truth.
Right.
And more about the qualities of truth that help us flourish.
Got it. And the stars themselves offer a reminder. The article shares this quote too. What you shine today may outlast you. Your light may guide travelers you will never meet. That's something, isn't it? To think your integrity, your kindness today, could light a path for someone way down the line, someone you'll never know. It definitely pushes for a broader view.
A more selfless perspective on our choices, absolutely.
Okay, so from ancient stars, let's switch gears completely. Fireflies.
Ah, the playful lights.
Yes. Whimsical, brief, flickering. It really challenges that idea that compassion has to be solemn all the time. Or serious. Heavy.
It does.
How do these playful lights expand how we think about kindness? I admit I hadn't really thought of joy as compassion before reading this.
And that's a great point. Tinkerbell's fireflies are all about bringing delight and joy into compassion.
Mm-hmm.
They teach us that showing care doesn't always need to be, you know, deep and heavy.
It can be light.
It can be lighthearted, spontaneous. The article points out compassion can be laughter shared on a really hard day, or silliness that just breaks the tension. Or a moment of shared wonder that reminds us life isn't just survival.
There's joy, too.
There's joy. The fireflies insist. Play is sacred. Light can dance as well as guide. And that's important because finding joy in giving, it helps the receiver, sure, but it also fulfills the giver.
Creates a positive cycle.
Exactly. A virtuous cycle. Empathy isn't only shared sorrow, it can be shared delight. Bring in that spark of lightness when it's needed most.
That is refreshing. But is there a risk of it seeming trivial? Like, when does playful become, maybe not enough? When are the serious acts still needed? Does Tinkerbell balance that?
You're right, it has to be balanced. And the theology isn't saying replace serious compassion. Not at all. It's about expanding our view of it.
Okay.
The fireflies show that playful compassion often helps sustain us through tough times, or builds resilience for bigger challenges later. Think about, like, the moments of humor that prevent burnout for caregivers.
Yeah.
Or the simple joy that helps a child heal. It's the sacredness of play that's key. Recognizing lightness isn't frivolous, it's essential fuel.
So different kinds of light for different moments.
Precisely. Genuine kindness comes in a whole spectrum. Steady presence, spontaneous joy.
Yeah.
Each fits its context.
It does make you think, how can I bring more lightness, more playfulness into my own acts of compassion? Maybe make those connections feel more vibrant, less like a duty.
And sometimes a shared giggle is just as potent as a deep talk, especially if it ignites that inner light.
Right. Okay, let's scale up again to the grand spectacle. Rainbows.
Ah, yes. The full spectrum.
So what does this mean for understanding compassion and truth more broadly, especially when we think about diversity? This feels like it takes that multiplication idea somewhere new.
Absolutely. The rainbow is presented as, well, what happens when light reveals its full nature, its full spectrum?
When it bends through rain.
Exactly. And suddenly you see, it wasn't just white light. It contained infinite colors all shining together. No rivalry.
Beautiful metaphor.
And it connects directly to compassion expanding into justice, and truth revealing itself in diversity. The article really stresses, each color is essential. None cancels the others out.
Together, they make something more beautiful.
Richer, more complete. It's a powerful statement about embracing difference. It doesn't weaken the whole, it strengthens it. Recognizing the value every unique perspective every individual brings.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really profound here, which Tinkerbell implies, is that the fullness of light isn't just one pure truth. It's its ability to bend, to refract.
Into all those colors.
Into a kaleidoscope of individual truths. It shifts the focus from finding the single truth to seeing truth itself as a spectrum, appearing in different colors depending on the lens, you know?
Wow, okay, that adds another layer. Truth as a spectrum, not a monolith. But how do we hold on to that dynamic view without it just becoming, well, anything goes, relativism? How does this theology help navigate that diversity without losing all cohesion?
That's the critical question.
Mm.
And Tinkerbell's theology seems to answer it by pointing back to the source of the light.
The original white light?
Exactly. The rainbow's colors, they're distinct, right? But they all come from that same source. So while expressions of truth and justice might look really different across cultures, experiences, people, they ideally stem from a shared humanity, core values like compassion, connection. The unity isn't in being the same, but in recognizing that common origin and respecting each hue's contribution to the whole spectrum.
So celebrating the unique color while remembering it's all part of the same light.
Precisely that.
And the rainbow's declaration in the article is so clear. The fullness of light is not sameness, but unity in diversity. Every color matters. Every life matters.
A powerful call to action.
It really is. To celebrate difference, recognize inherent value, and understand that true strength, the fullest light, comes from that vibrant spectrum.
Yeah.
So if we pull all these threads together, the candle, the stars, the fireflies, the rainbow,
yeah,
we see this Tinkerbell's chapel of the sky and forest, as the source calls it. It teaches that compassion isn't just one single thing. It's warmth, it's guidance, it's play, it's diversity. And truth isn't some rigid beam either. It bends, it flickers, it spreads. It reveals beauty in countless ways. And it always, always multiplies when shared.
Exactly. The source sums it up beautifully with a clear call to action. Living in the light means carrying a candle, following the stars, dancing like fireflies, and celebrating the rainbow.
Embracing all those aspects.
Yes. It reinforces that core belief. Our small flames matter. Our joy matters. Our differences matter. Each unique expression of light adds to a richer, more compassionate world. It's a holistic view.
Turning scarcity into abundance.
An ever-expanding interconnected glow. That's the potential.
What a fascinating and, yeah, truly whimsical journey through Tinkerbell's theology of light. Thanks to the source material you shared today, it keeps coming back to that core message, doesn't it? Light is meant to be shared, multiplied. Even the faintest glow can push back darkness.
It's incredibly empowering.
It is.
And the article leaves us with this powerful statement of trust. That even the faintest glow can banish the deepest darkness. So, maybe a final thought for you listening. What would it really mean to live in a world where everyone actively tried to kindle countless others along the way with their own unique light?
Wow.
How transformative could that collective illumination be if we all embraced our capacity for warmth, guidance, joy, diverse understanding, and really committed to multiplying light, not hoarding it. Imagine every flicker igniting another.
That's definitely a thought to carry, the power of collective illumination. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive today.
My pleasure.
We hope you'll notice the different kinds of light, literal and metaphorical, in your own life this week. And maybe think about how you can use your own light, gently, playfully, brightly, to kindle countless others along the way.
Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.